Good morning. Our Bible reading today falls in Proverbs, beginning on page 918 of the Church Bible. And we're going to be in two places. So we're looking at chapter 12 and just two verses, 18 and 19. This one on page 919. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Then I'm going to go to page 923 in chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, and then verse 4. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Sorry, that's the one I'm not reading. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit.
Thanks, Kim. So we're looking at the wise way to use our words today. And Proverbs has got so much to say on this. I couldn't put in all of it. I tried to, but in the critique during the week, Simon and Jason's probably saved you a bit from that. They're like, too much. So we're sort of trying to cut it down a little bit to a more manageable level. But why don't we pray that God would help us listen to his word. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you that you speak to us. Thank you that you are the living God speaking to us in this word for us today. And so we ask that you would give us wisdom. And as we prayed earlier, we thank you that you are a God who delights to give wisdom to those who ask. And so we ask this morning, please help us be wise in the way that we use our words, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I feel like my entire married life has been me trying to learn how to control my tongue. I don't know if you've discovered this. It's incredibly hard to do. I try not to speak too much because I find if I do speak too much, it just goes pear-shaped for me. I try hard not to say something that I might later regret. But even so, I feel like I still do, like all the time. Sometimes without even thinking. I remember a few years ago when I was still living in Brisbane, Beeves had come back here for her dad's 60th birthday. And so she was away for the week and she took the kids with her. And when I picked her up from the airport, we were finding out about each other's weeks. And I was finding out about the party and sort of the week away, catching up with family and all that sort of stuff. And then she asked me about how my week was. And I was like, it was great. I was really productive. I sanded down our dining table and revarnished it. For some reason, I'm feeling really refreshed. And so I've been able to do sort of, you guys can see where this is going, right? I was feeling refreshed. So I was able to do exercise. I actually lost weight during that week. And so in the space of that, 5-minute conversation, I basically implied that all Beeves in the family does is make me sort of fat, tired, and unproductive. Fortunately, I've learned from that, and I've never said anything foolish like that since. I wish. Because despite my best intentions, I still do that sort of thing all the time. I've discovered I can be quite judgmental. I've always been like that, but I've probably just realized it recently. I can sort of say things to Beeves and the kids that are really unhelpful, just pointing out faults all the time. It's not good. I just make them feel inadequate. It's awful. Because you see, our words have consequences, and I'm learning that. Have you found that as well? Do you find yourself sometimes saying things that you then instantly regret? How do we stop that? How do we stop ourselves doing that? Maybe a little wisdom in how we use our words might help us. And that's what Proverbs aims to give you and I this morning, as it holds out to us a wise way of using our words. It's worth listening to, so that hopefully we don't wound those around us with our words. And so let's jump in. Well, the first thing we see in Proverbs is that the wise, they don't pierce with their words. Instead, they bring healing. We see this from our first one in 12:18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Here we see Proverbs holding out to us two different consequences our words can have. If we're reckless, we can so easily pierce people with our words. Someone gets a new haircut, they walk in, and you're like, oh, geez, they didn't leave much. That's the Australian way, isn't it? The way that we show affection is to insult people. I've learned I'm terrible at this. I've tried my hand at it a couple of times. It just comes out cruel. I can't get away with that. Some people can. And some people, depending on what it is, like they take it the way that it was intended as a sign of your affection. But sometimes you might inadvertently touch on something that they're actually quite sensitive about. And they might smile and joke, but you might have inadvertently pierced them to the heart. You could have really wounded them. That's what our reckless words can do. But that's not the only way that we can pierce with our words. There's loads of other things that Proverbs talks about. It talks about gossip, talking about people behind their back. It talks about it being delicious, like delicious morsels that goes down deep into us. It can taste good at the time, but it can pierce people. Same with mockery. Sort of joking around with someone, it's like, oh, can't believe you did that. How could you be so dumb? And we probably all know someone who loves pointing out the faults in others, like I do. This is probably one of the things that I struggle with, that sort of judgmentalism that, oh, you could have done this better. You could have done this. Why would you do it like that? But all these ways of speaking, Proverbs tells us, is foolish. They're reckless because they can pierce people. Instead, those who are wise, their words should bring healing. They should be encouraging with their words. Instead of pointing out people's failures all the time, they actually point out their strengths. The wise talk about the good in others behind their back. When there's relational tension, the wise try and bring healing. They try and be a peacemaker, try and bring reconciliation if they can. The wise are those who use their words not to pierce people, but to bring healing. Now, I've had experience of this in multiple workplaces that I've worked in, sort of at both ends of the spectrum, actually. Some of you might know, I used to work as an engineer at Queensland Nickel. And when I was there, the nickel and cobalt prices were quite low, so like budgets were quite strained. And I had this one of the managers in an area that I was working at. He was just this negative sort of a dude. And unfortunately, he created quite a toxic work environment. Because if you did something well, it meant that it wasn't worth mentioning. You didn't get told that you'd done a good job. Even if you did an okay job, it wouldn't get mentioned. He would only speak to you if you'd messed up or you'd done something wrong. And so his entire communication strategy was about pointing out how you need to be better. Now, as I said, it created this really toxic work environment. But I've also had the other end of the spectrum as well. I had this one boss in particular who was quite a positive guy. He was forever talking people up behind their backs. And so you got the impression that if he ever talked about you behind your back, chances are he was actually talking about your strengths. It was actually a pleasure to work with him. He was generous with his praise, not in a sort of a flattering, ingenuous way, but he would actually tell you if you did a good job. And if you didn't do a good job, he would still tell you, but in private. And even then, you got the impression that he was doing not to sort of crush you, but to show you how you could actually improve. Even in correction, he gave you the impression that he wanted your good. It was a pleasure working for him. And I think the reason is because he was wise in the way that he spoke. His words didn't pierce. Instead, they brought healing. And so when you think about the way that you speak to others,
Do you pierce with your words? Or are you like that blow? Do you bring healing? Do you bring encouragement? Do you bring sort of positivity to the relationships that you're involved in? I suspect we're all works in progress at this. I don't think any of us has this nailed. But I think as Christians, this is something that we want to work on. Not only is it the wise way to sort of use our words, not only is it just something that will work and will tend to work out well for us in this life, it actually reflects something of the way that God designed us. And so when we're wise with our words, we actually please Him. But even more than that, when we heal with our words, that's actually the loving way to use our words. That's the way that He intended them to be used. Because this is what He holds out to us in 1 John 4. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I think this is where we need to go to find the motivation to be wise with our words. We actually want to be oriented towards loving others. After all, we are those who've been loved deeply by the Lord Jesus. He gave His life for us. That's how much He loved us. And so He calls us to walk in His footsteps and love those around us. And one of the ways that we can love others is with our words. And so we want to be wise in how we use them. We want to be encouraging, healing. And so maybe some questions that we can ask ourselves as we think about how to be wiser and more loving with our words is, am I always pointing out people's faults? How can I make a more concerted effort to start noticing their strengths instead? How can I point them out? Do I like hearing gossip? Does the way that I respond to gossip sort of encourage it? Or does my sort of pointing out the good in others make you an unlikely sort of recipient for gossip? They're like, they're not the sort of person that likes this. You might actually start to change your culture in your workplace or in your family if you start talking positively behind people's backs instead of negatively. Maybe you can ask yourself, how does this person hear the jokes that I'm making? Do they actually hear me trying to express my love for them and sort of our friendship? Or does it come across as cutting or mocking or hurtful? Are they pierced by my words? Because I think we want to be wise with the way that we speak, don't we? As those particularly who have been loved by God, surely we want our words to be an overflow of that same kind of love. We want God's love for us to overflow from us in the way that we speak. Wouldn't it be beautiful if people started to take notice of that? That we actually started to be a blessing in our workplaces and in our families, in our friendship circles. I think that would be using our words in a way that God designed. So I think that's the first way that Proverbs holds out to us that it's wise. That's the first wise way of using our words. But as we keep reading, I think we also see that those who are wise will soothe with their words, not inflame. And for this, we turn to Proverbs 15. We see a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Those who are wise seem to go out of their way to avoid arcing people up. Because when you speak with someone, there are often different ways that you can actually say the same thing. You can choose to be gentle, or you can choose to be harsh. For instance, a famous example in my married life, I remember walking in and seeing Beebs chopping onions weirdly. It's one of those things that stick out. Now, at the time, I said, why are you chopping onions like that? That's a harsh way of saying that. A better way of saying that would be, hey, for this recipe, I've found that maybe dicing onions might work better. This is just one of the ways that I do that. I can naturally be harsh. I need to check myself. When I am like that, though, when I sort of do that sort of harsh sort of answer, it mostly just stirs up anger. It triggers defensiveness in the person I'm talking to. But the wise, they actually try and be gentle in how they speak. I mean, even when responding to someone attacking them, when someone snaps at you, are you like me? Do you naturally get defensive? Do you want to snap back, attack back? Because that's what I find easy to do. But Proverbs tells us that when we do that, similarly, we're just going to stir up more anger. We're just going to make it a disagreement into a fight. But if in that moment we can sort of find some level of self-control, this is probably a bit of a black belt skill. If we can answer gently in return, Proverbs tells us we might just soothe the situation. Instead of inflaming it, instead of starting a fight, you can just sort of diffuse the whole thing. I've discovered this recently, because as I mentioned in the announcement, Biebs and I have been doing the parenting course, and we've been finding it really challenging, me in particular. And last week, we looked at discipline and how to discipline in a sort of godly, gracious way. It's really hard to do, because one of the things that sort of Jason talked about was being calm as you discipline. But I know for myself, when I ask one of my children to tidy up their room or get ready for gymnastics, and it's the fifth time I've had to ask them to do it, and they just defiantly refuse or ignore me, everything in me just wants to stomp on that, answer harshly, yell at them. And to be honest, I do that way too often. But something I've noticed, sort of as I've been thinking this through with the parenting course, I've noticed that when I actually do resort to that, it often just gets my kids back up. It actually makes them more stubborn, more resistant to actually listening. This is actually something I'm really trying to work on. I actually want to be wiser in the way that I speak to my kids. And there have been a few occasions where I've actually managed that, where I've managed to sort of answer calmly. And I've actually discovered it's actually de-escalated the situation. Instead of amping it up and making them more resistant and making it a fight that they want to then win, it sort of helps them see that what they're doing is actually really unloving. And it actually helps them see that's actually good, that we're actually wanting their good. We're going to gymnastics for your sake. It makes it easier for my kids to actually listen. It probably shouldn't be surprising. This is what Proverbs tells us. A soothing tongue is a tree of life. It's a perverse tongue that crushes the spirit. So how do you go at speaking gently? When you have to raise something with someone, maybe a colleague or an employee, spouse, a friend, a child, do you go out of your way to try and be gentle? Do you stop and think about, how can I phrase this in a way that it's not going to come across harsh or judgmental? How can I make them understand that I actually want their good in raising this? I'm not just delighting to point out their fault and show them where they're deficient. Maybe on the flip side then, how do you go at responding to criticism? Do you automatically switch into defensive mode? Or are you able to be gracious in your response? Are you able to answer gently? Because I think we want to be wise in how we speak. And that's what Proverbs holds out to us. When we are gentle, it turns aside wrath. A soothing tongue can be a tree of life. There's one way that we can be wise. But then lastly, we also see that the wise speak truth and not lies. Here we turn to our second part of chapter 12. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. It says lies only last a moment, but the truth actually endures. And I think we know this from experience, don't we? Lies all too regularly get found out. And when they are found out, they just destroy trust, don't they? And you know, trust is one of those things. It's the very fabric of relationship, right? You can't have a relationship with someone without trust. And trust is one of those things that is built incredibly slowly over time. And yet what lies do, they shred that trust. And they can shred it in a moment. A trust that's taken you years to build up, with one lie, you can tear that entire down. It's utterly foolish. When you think about whatever you're getting out of lying, Proverbs tells us it'll be short-lived. Don't do it. It's dumb. It's utterly foolish to lie, to give in to untruths or be deceitful. The wise thing to do is to tell the truth, because that's what will endure. I read a story during the week, actually, as I was thinking about this, about a dude who lied on his resume, and it cost him his job. All he did was say that he'd worked at his previous employer for a period of 5 years, from 2010 to 2015. And his new employer offered him the job, but then once they started to observe him, they actually started to have a few question marks. And so they went and started digging through his references and digging through this. And they actually discovered he didn't work for that company for 5 years. He actually only worked there about a year and was sacked. And so they ended up sacking him as well. But he launched an unfair dismissal case against them. But the Fair Work Commission said that the employer was completely justified in sacking this bloke. And part of their findings was this. They found that the gravity of his deceit called into question his employer's ability to trust him to act with honesty and integrity. And that's true. That's what lies do. They're actually an expression of a heart that doesn't have integrity. It sort of undercuts your ability to relate to people. Now, this bloke wasn't a Christian, so he didn't have a godly fear of the Lord to motivate him. But in a world created by the Lord Jesus, who in John 14 actually calls himself the truth, he actually calls himself the way, the truth, and the life. That's sort of so intrinsically bound up with who Jesus is. Lies are just out of step with reality. No wonder they almost always end badly. Lies are one of those things that can be easy to think of as little and inconsequential, particularly the so-called little white lies. But any lie, really, is firstly out of line with God's character, and those who want to walk in Christ's footsteps should avoid them. But they're also just dumb, because they do erode that foundation of relationships. They almost always come back to bite you, because they erode people's trust. So this is our third way that Proverbs calls us to be wise in the way that we speak. We want to be wise in our words. We want to bring healing with our words. We want our words to soothe. And we want our words to be true. This is what it looks like to be wise with our words. And does this type of wisdom characterize the way that you speak? I'm going to pray now that it would be. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for Proverbs. Thank you that you hold out to us wisdom for life. Thank you that you tell us how life works best, and you tell us for our good. And so help us listen. Help us be wise with our words. Help us use the way that we speak to love those around us, just as you have loved us. And we pray these ultimately in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.